pastors try to do the same thing with their churches. They're afraid they might hear something different than what they preach. And then they're afraid they'll lose control. I don't have control. I serve the one who does.
Amen.
Had a man come to me one day, and he didn't like what I said to him, and he went off, and I didn't see him for over a year. I ran into him, and finally he says to me, he says, "Preacher, I'm mad at you." I said, "So what else is there? What are you mad about?" "Well, you know, you didn't come and search after me. When I left, you didn't come and ask me why I left." I figured you were a man. If you wanted to tell me, you'd come tell me. If not, you'd hide behind your wife. It didn't matter to me. And he said, "Yeah, but preacher, the Bible says the good shepherd leaves the 99 and goes after the one lost." I said, "Jim, whoever told you I was the good shepherd? You got me confused with someone else. Jesus is the good shepherd."
Amen.
And let me ask you, do you think he is so stupid to leave 99 perfectly healthy sheep alone for wolves to go after one dummy that won't obey? No, he could leave the sheepdog back there. Maybe an under-shepherd. And I said, "I don't even qualify as an under-shepherd. I'm just a sheepdog. And I'm running around here protecting them sheep. And if Jesus doesn't want you, what do I want with you? If he isn't looking for you, what do I want for you? Go mess up some other church. Leave mine alone."
Amen.
Preachers need to get that attitude. Do you know something I know? I prayed tonight. I prayed tonight. And some of you don't know me from anything. You don't know me. As far as you might know I'm some flatlander from down there who's smart aleck or something. But I'm going to tell you this anyway. I prayed. And my prayer was very simple. I don't want anyone in this tent tonight. No one in this tent that God doesn't want here.
Amen.
And I prayed and said, "God, if you don't want them here, you keep them out. I don't care who they are, what they look like, what they believe. If you don't want them here, you keep them out. And if you want them here, Lord, don't let them stay out."
Amen.
Because you see, I don't know your hearts. And I'm not going to pretend to. God knows your heart. He knows who you are. So I have to trust Him. I have to trust Him. So I know if you're here, God wants you to know Him.
Amen.
That's it. That's what God wants for you. He wants your love. He wants His love in you. He wants to share Himself with you and give you all that He has. You don't have to change anything. You don't have to cut your beard or shave your mustache or grow a beard and grow a mustache. You don't have to slick your hair back. You just be you.
Amen.
Just be you. God loves you the way you are, and He'll change whatever needs to be changed. You don't have to do it.
Amen.
Don't take yourself so serious. Let's sing this song and just thank you.
Amen.
Now, I'm leaving this town here after tomorrow. And you're staying here. There's a freedom in a tent, isn't there? Have you ever felt this freedom in a church building?
Yeah.
But not very often, huh?
Well, last 8-10 months I've been.
Praise God. Praise God. Can I come to your church? What church is it?
Mount of 70 Christian Center.
Montescutti Christian Center, where's that?
Montescutti, Vermont.
Oh, Scutney, Vermont.
Montescutti,
Vermont. You got to forgive this flatlander. You got to forgive me for being a flatlander, too. It's not my fault. We're brothers, aren't we? Tell them about Jesus.
Well, I've left this area 4 times. At least 4 times. The first time I left, I wasn't a Christian. And I had to leave. Or I had some legal issues I would have to deal with. Get out of town and go to jail, okay? I was 19 and didn't have a Bible until I was leaving town. I joined the Air Force. In spite of my stupidity, and that's every bit of that word, and some of you, I'm not sure if I know any of you or not. In spite of my stupidity, God had set up many events that were going to take place in my life. And many of them would not take place, except I was still going to make some more stupid choices. I got in the Air Force. I was rebellious. I got in trouble. I was shooting pool instead of studying. I got in more trouble. I got cut back 2 different classes. For training. But in that third class was a Christian. Actually, a couple of Christians. But one who wouldn't give up. One looked at me and he didn't like very much what he saw. He didn't have much to look at either. But the other kept bugging me. And I told him, I said, okay, I don't want your church. I'll be your friend, but I don't want your church. God used him. God kept him coming after me. I promised him to go to church one day. I had no intention of going. I stayed out the night before, drinking, partying. I was really wasted when he came in the morning because I didn't go to bed till 5 that morning. I said, I'm not going anywhere, so okay. That afternoon he came by and he wanted to do the same thing I want to do, shoot the pool. But I wasn't very good, so I couldn't shoot pool with him. Because if you win the table, you keep the table. If you lose, you know. So we couldn't shoot against each other. We weren't very good. We went to another place to shoot pool. He said, well, now what are you doing? I eat chow, why? And he ate the same chow hall as I did. All right, now what are you going to do? Nothing, why? Well, go to church? You have church at night? Yeah, all right, I'll go once. But don't bug me ever again. If I want to go, I'll go. And the only thing I can tell you is the Lord knew how to get hold of that preacher. Because the preacher said a few things that had specific dealings with my life. He didn't know me. I was in Denver, Colorado. He had no idea what was going on in my life. And because of what took place, that night, I went again. And because of what happened the next time, I went to an event, and I didn't know what it was called. I had some music at the base chapel. Evangelists were there. I don't know if I'd have gone otherwise. Oh, my. I don't know if you ever heard of the Brooks Family Singers. I wish I knew where they were. I'd like to talk to them again. I've never seen them since. I have to look it up. That night, they flew out there because their bus had broken down. Out of their own pocket, they flew from Tennessee to Denver, paid their own way to go. And now knowing what people in the ministry have for money, that was some doing. They felt like they needed to be there. And when they came, they also, the leader of the band, I guess you could say, the head preacher. His wife flew up from Texas. She hadn't seen him in months. She'd had a baby. She she stayed with the baby for a while with her parents. And while he was preaching, that concept was working on me. God was helping me to understand, because broken love relationship in my life was kind of heavy, like for most of us. God used that idea of love, especially during the altar call. Because here's the preacher talking about the love of Christ. And here, I didn't close my eyes when they said, close your eyes, every head bowed, every eye closed. I was looking around. And his wife was eyeballing him. His wife was watching everything he was doing and listening to everything he was saying. And I could see in her eye a certain love. But it wasn't a love for the man, her husband. But it was a love for the one that he was talking about. It was such a unique love that while he was talking and she was looking, God was drawing me by his Holy Ghost. And when they gave the altar call, I went forward. And I didn't go to church. I could have cared less about going forward for an altar call. And when I get up there, I prayed, and I didn't wait for the preacher because he already told us what to do. So I went up and I prayed, and I asked Jesus to forgive me, come into my heart, the Lord of my life. And I'm telling you, life for the 5 to 10 years before that wasn't easy. And so, as many of you know, when you go to the altar, you're carrying all that baggage. And I know what God spoke to my heart. He clearly spoke to my heart and said, I've forgiven you. Stand up. Put your shoulders back. You're mine.
Amen.
Now, no one could hear that except me, because it was in my heart. God was speaking to my heart. There's no words to explain. God changed my life right there. I know what took place. But I also knew immediately that in this area, there weren't many people, I didn't know of anyone, that was preaching that. I went up to them after, do you ever go up to New Hampshire? No, we don't quite get that far. Well, and almost every evangelist I've ever seen, for the many years I was in the service, I asked the same thing. We went to Bible college and asked people there. You ever go up to New Hampshire? No. Make a big circle. We don't really get up that far. I said, well, you ought to go. You'll find out why. Because nobody goes there. And like I said, I've left 5 times. God keeps bringing me back.
Amen.
Because what he did in my heart there, he wants me to share with others here.
Amen.
Give me a cheer. We're out of tape. That's all right. Don't worry about it.
Just leave them.
How's your breathing? You had bronchitis? How is it now?
I'm fine now. Dave, double sense.
Praise God. Give me a cheer.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
So that's Jesus. That's not me. That's just me. It's like me. If I were to try to take credit for that, it's like this microphone trying to take credit for what I... It's Jesus.
Amen.
His love is in this tent.
Amen.
Did I pray? Were you the one that had a sleep problem? How'd you sleep last night?
I didn't want to use the machine and mess things up. I didn't sleep like a baby, though, but that might be the mattress.
Well, I'm believing God for you. Total, complete freedom from that.
Amen.
Satan, I'll tell you people's secret. And don't tell him, because he doesn't know this, see. Satan don't like you. You know, I used to have to get up and make myself preach. I don't know if I said this last night at 10 or not. I don't think so. It was afterwards. I used to walk around the tent and pray and pray, oh, Lord, you know. I just hated to come inside and preach. Hated it. It's all I could do to get up and talk in front of people. People would say afterwards, oh, you really do talk, you do this, you do that. I said, no, you don't know me. And so I just quit going around them. But since I put that tent up in Terry's place in Alabama, I realized I can't wait to get in and talk anymore. See? Because before, I took myself too seriously. So I was worried about how I was going to mess up. How I wasn't going to say the right thing. How I would say something wrong. Or how I. You know, I carried that I around with me for 27 years, 28 years, 29 years. Isn't that stupid? That's D-U-M-B stupid. I smell like a Flatlander too, don't I? But God had me tell Terry one day, don't take yourself so serious. And I felt real good about it. Don't take yourself so serious, Terry. And I got off. Hey, man, that was pretty good, Lord. Thanks. He said, yeah, why don't you listen? And I've been free ever since. I've been free ever since. All right. You're cold. You're tired. You want to go home. Anybody sick here? Anybody sick? Anybody need a healing? All right. We give it away. We don't beg it away. We don't take up offerings. I said that earlier. We don't take up offerings. My job isn't here to raise money, spend an hour and 45 minutes trying to convince you we're doing God's work. If you don't know that by now, you're never going to know it. We have some brochures up here that'll tell you a little bit about our ministry and what we're doing. We'd like, if you believe in what we're doing, we'd like your support. This revival is paid for. It's been paid for. These guys, all of these guys right here, have worked and paid for this revival. That guy right there, Steve, Charlie, Ricky, Tim, Ricky, John, Scott, and others. They have paid for this revival. I put a few pennies in it. Paul's put a few pennies in it. John's put a few pennies in it. Because we've got something we love and we want you to have it.
Amen.
So we paid for this revival. And that's not to glorify us. I'm not saying that to glorify us. I'm not even saying it to glorify them. I'm telling you how we do things. The soldiers that go out and do battle don't ask the enemy or the people it's saving to pay for it. When Jesus talked about the Good Samaritan didn't ask the guy he helped for money. He paid the price. Jesus paid the price for me, and he paid the price for you. And then he says we're to do the same thing. So when I go out, I look for the wounded, and I look for those that are cast out along the side of the road. And Jesus, what would you have me to do? Bind them up. Pay for it. Take care of it. That's what I do.
Amen.
I don't ask that person to pay for it. I do it. But every now and then, those people get healed, or they get saved, and they begin to click and they begin to understand, wait a minute, this guy's really doing the right thing. And I want to help him continue to do it. And I want to help him pay for other revivals. And that's the way it's supposed to work. The church is supposed to support the outreach.
Amen.
So there are baskets here. If God puts it on your heart to put an offering in, put an offering in. If not, that's all right, too. It's on the house. It's free. Praise God. Amen. And ain't nobody going to be standing over to see how much you put in it. Except for him. I'm just kidding, right? I am just kidding, right?
Well, I did point to this. I thought you were pointing to him.
I was pointing to you. But that was good. I hadn't thought of that, you know. Gee, I wish I'd have thought of that. No, I was thinking of you, son. That's my boy. He don't look like me, does he? Yeah, I'm going to be up in Vermont next week.
Yes, sir. For three of us.
That's right. Wonder how long you're going to be there.
Hopefully, as long as God will
see you. Amen. This is my son-in-law. This is Ricky. We call him Mr. Raisin.
I got your beat, though.
Oh, yeah, you do. Oh, yeah. See that pretty little girl with that baby out there that's been hollering, Grandpa? Y'all thought she was speaking in tongues, but see, I understand what she's saying. That's my daughter, Kim. And that pretty little girl next to her is my daughter, my granddaughter, Becca. Rebecca. John's my friend. Amen. You're my friend. That's Tim. Tim was real nervous the first night. He was out here trying to do the music and trying to do all this kind of stuff. And of course, I didn't make things any better. I said, you mess up tonight, that's fine, but you better not mess up tomorrow night.
Man.
Squirrel Man, get up here for a minute. We like to call John Squirrel Man, only because his name is Squires, and I like to pick on him. It humbles him. He takes his stuff way too serious, but he's learning not to.
Amen.
Amen. John's great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, or great-great-great-grandfather, one of them greats back there, was John Brown. If you give him wild hair, do it, and paint his beard black, give him a stare like he looks like his grandfather's pictures. My great 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 uncle hung him. And then set out to hung all the rest of the family. Now, Southerners hold grudges. isn't it amazing? His great-great-grandfather ran away and hid up in Canada and came down in St. Albans. And years and years and years later, God sent our two families back together. And now we're in the same army. Fighting on the same side.
Amen.
Because we love Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Give him a cheer. Steve, what can I say about Steve? Steve come up from New York to meet the blood-sucking cult leader that led his family astray. Steve was Mr. Intelligence. He was the next Messiah. Even God reached him.
Amen.
And now he's working for the Messiah.
Amen.
And I love him. And he's been very faithful to this ministry. Scott Stevens, 7 years ago, I said you were going to be a part of this ministry. You laughed at me. Well, ha ha.
God's stronger than even me.
Amen.
Amen. Don't be afraid to declare a thing. God says He'll give you the desires of your heart. Now, do you believe it? I desired Scott to be saved and his wife and to be part of this ministry. And I declared it, and I believed it, and I stood on it, and I've seen it.
Amen.
And you can do the same thing.
Amen.
Except just don't do it with Scott. He's part of this ministry. Steve's pastor in his church. Scott's got a church here. And he didn't know that, but he just found out.
Small church.
Yeah. Little home church. Steve's the pastoring of it until he's ready to take over. And if you go to a church, if you have a church, go to your church. Go to your church, support your church. Pray. Seek God. Do what God tells you to do. Glorify Jesus Christ. And watch the preacher change.
Amen.
Now, if you do these things, God will either move the preacher out or change him.
Amen.
And if you do these things and the preacher and the people don't like it, they'll move you out. So if you don't have a church to go to, check with Scott. If you do, take Jesus and the Word into the one you go to.
Amen.
We're not here to proselyte. I hate proselyting. Churches spend too much time trying to take other churches' people out of them. There's plenty of people out here that don't go to church for everybody.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Amen. If we would spend half our time after the people out there in the street that don't know Jesus, we could get some work done. And it's amazing, the people I've gone out and looked for people. You know, Ricky Baldwin Church didn't want anything to do with you when I found you. They didn't want anything to do with him. But I'll tell you what, once he got saved and started coming to church, every preacher in town came out of the woodwork, tried to get him to go to their church.
That's true.
That shouldn't be that way. I know he's not that way. I can just tell by his spirit, he's not that way. He knows God.
Amen.
Amen. Give me some traveling music. Turn to somebody, tell them you love them in the name of Jesus. Don't leave the tent without doing that.